listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And oh my goodness, it's almost Turkey Day.
Vegetarian
friend.
We can still call it Turkey Day. It's cool. Yeah.
Well, and you know, I know we have this discussion every year, but for you as a vegetarian who is experiencing Thanksgiving, do you feel like there are enough types of foods at the get-togethers you get to where you are satisfied? Mm-hmm. Or do you often find yourself having to bring something that's like kind of in your realm of what you prefer?
No, I would say out of all the holidays, Thanksgiving, I really like Thanksgiving. Yeah. I love all, I like the dressing. I'm not weird about like if it's got some like chicken broth in it. I don't like chicken broth, but the dressing's so good that my grandmother makes that I'm kind of like, I think we'll have a little chicken broth today. We'll splurge a little. But yeah, I mean, everything, all the sides are great. I mean, my aunt's awesome. She usually hosts it. We have like different types of dips and sides and desserts. I mean, I've been a vegetarian for so long that like I don't really think anything differently. And it's funny because one of our new employees at the rec center was asking me, we had like a Friendsgiving or whatever, like we did soups and stuff, and she said she made grandma's vegetable soup, and I was like, oh awesome, I'm vegetarian, I would love to eat that. And she goes, oh, I put meat in it. And I was like, now, how are you going to make a veggie soup and put meat in it? Yeah, I was like, how does that work?
Or it's like, at least add the fact, like, say, beef and vegetable soup.
Right, right. Yeah. But, yes. I mean, it was totally fine. But, yeah, I really like Thanksgiving. It's actually, I think, one of my favorite holidays because of the food. Mm-hmm. So, what about you? Are you excited?
I am. You know, and it's one of those things where, so our family, and just between, like, parents and in-laws, and then, like, in-laws who are divorced and have, like, all, so there's, like, all these people to see. So, we're the people that spend most of the day in the car, mm-hmm. and then we have like small segments of time that we spend with each family, mm-hmm. and I really wanted to remedy that this year because we have two small children and it's just not the best in terms of having them in the car, mm-hmm. so I try to decide like, okay, we will have a Thanksgiving lunch at our house and force some people to go to us. All of our parents like straight up were like, no, we're okay, like, so there, nobody's coming over to
our
house.
Are you serious?
So I'm like, I guess we'll still show up to all of theirs. Yeah, so I'm a little salty about that right now. I don't mind saying that on the radio because I don't think
nobody listens, so whatever. Just, yeah, I'm just kidding.
So but yeah, I was like kind of put out by that. I'm like, driving from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa is not a big
it's
deal.
It's really not that big deal. I mean, people do that all the time for work. That's so fun. That's so funny to me. Come on.
Yeah. Seriously. I'm like, you want to see the infant and the toddler? Come to our house. But
there comes a time where I feel like when you have kids, it's much easier for people to come to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you've got to load everything up. And I don't have kids, but like, I would rather go to somebody because out of convenience for them. Like, I just think that's much easier. But
yes, I know. All the things. Now, are you doing a lot of traveling for Thanksgiving? You'll be going to North Alabama?
Yeah, we'll go up to North Alabama and do Huntsville. Still trying to kind of work out the plans, but it makes it easier because everybody's up there, and so we can kind of go see my dad and go do stuff with my mom's family and then see his family, so it's good.
That's good. Yeah. That's definitely good. Now, and I, as far as Thanksgiving goes, as I continue this theme in our first segment, I'm a desserts person.
Okay.
Too.
Ooh, what's your favorite dessert?
I'm a pumpkin pie or really? Sweet potato pie person.
Not pecan pie?
I do like pecan pie. It's not the first one I think of. And I think it's because like I've never made it on my own. But then when I have someone else's and it's on point, I'm like, okay, yes, this could become my favorite dessert.
Yeah. Well, funny that you say dessert because I've been trying, like, my new hobby is like I'm trying to cook more. And it's funny because I'm trying to get the guy friend to eat more vegetarian food because he likes a lot of meat. And I'm like, you know, we should really try to eat less meat. And so where I've got him on like a good plan. So I've been trying all these different things. But I will say I made a dessert and it was really, really good. It was super easy. And if you're looking for something to make at Thanksgiving, it's basically like a Mississippi mud cake, but you take chocolate pudding and butterscotch pudding and like Heath on top. So it's like very toffee-ish.
Yes.
It's so easy too.
That sounds amazing.
It's very good. I was very proud of myself and it's really easy to do. And I was like, wow. I mean, I'm not just like cutting tofu, which is normally what I do to eat, but it was like really tasty. So I guess if you're looking for a dessert, I can share it with you.
Well, that's a shout out. And I probably will during the break.
Very
grab
tasty.
That. Mm-hmm. We might share it on air because others will be interested.
Yep.
But y'all, we have a great show. It has nothing to do with Thanksgiving food whatsoever. But as always, you know, we pride ourselves in having the best topics, the best guests, and today is no exception. But we're going to leave you on the edge of your seat for just a little bit longer. Grab a beverage, plan your Thanksgiving, do all the things. You'll catch us on the flip side. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And if you are just now joining us, you missed a fantastic opening segment on all things Thanksgiving. You know, we were talking about favorite sides, who we're going to see, who's not coming to see us.
Who's not coming to Sheena's house.
Yes, exactly. All of those things. But today, we are going to be talking about financial wellness. Mm. And you're probably thinking, like, why are we talking about this now? But we have the holidays coming up. I feel like, you know, this is going to be that time where people say, like, oh, you know, I can have a little credit card debt during this time of the year, you know, go big for the holidays, whatever else. And, you know, really, I think when it comes to financial wellness, this is something that we have to talk about pretty frequently. We want this to be on the forefront of folks' mind. And so to have that conversation today, we have two fabulous guests with us. We have Christy Horner from Alabama Credit Union, as well as Tiffany Lawson from the Department of Health Promotion and Wellness here at UA. So welcome to both of y'all.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Hello.
You know, it's funny when you talk about money around the holidays. I feel like this is a perfect topic because Black Friday is around the corner, Cyber Monday, although Black Friday is now all month.
Yes.
It's like actually like even longer than all month. And while those deals to me are sometimes really good, they kind of get you sometimes. So I like that we're bringing this up and just the awareness of thinking a little bit more proactively about our funds. But I'm curious, you know, Christy and Tiffany. Tiffany, I feel like you were just on like a couple of weeks ago. So our listeners like know you so well. So, you know, we'll just go with Christy first. Just, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, your professional academic background, you know, what you do in your role, and enlighten us.
I have a Bachelor of Science in Education from UA. Roll Tide. That out there. That's very important.
Yes.
I started my professional career teaching elementary school and working with children, and I've been at Alabama Credit Union for the past 10 years.
All right.
And you brought up Black Friday and all that stuff. I actually just hosted a webinar on a holiday savings guide because, mentioned, sometimes Black Friday deals are really good, but they can get you.
Do you remember how, like, with Black Friday, you used to have to, like, go, like, right after Thanksgiving or, like, get up super early, like, to get the new PlayStation 4 or 5 or whatever, Xbox, you know what I mean? Or, like, whatever. But you don't even do that. I don't think people do that anymore.
I loved it. I'm crazy.
Really?
I like to be creative and get to the deals first. So I loved that, but it is so much easier now.
Well, you know, and Christy, to me, especially when you talk about being a teacher and then going to the credit union, I almost feel like that's a seamless transition because I'm sure that in a lot of ways, like when you are talking to folks about their finances, there are some that really benefit from, for lack of better words, getting spoon-fed that information, getting really walked through that process and simplifying it for them. I don't know if you have that same perception, but that was kind of like my thought process with that. And also, too, what's your current role at the credit union right now?
Okay. Well, Alabama Credit Union's mission is to enhance the lives of members, and one of the ways we can do that is through financial education. So my primary responsibility is to make sure we provide that education to people of all ages in the communities we serve.
Nice. Perfect. And now Tiffany, my wonderful coworker, you know, anytime we have something that comes up in your topic area, I want to have you on. And, you know, for those that have just now started listening to our show, Tiffany, will you share a little bit about yourself and then also your role in health promotion wellness and how that kind of connects to this financial wellness piece?
For sure. Sheena, I'm sure all of y'all's viewers are like, oh, Tiffany again. They probably already know my background, but I'm going to go over it very briefly. So I have a master's in health promotion, and so I'm a health educator by background. And here at the university, I kind of do a lot of different things, but my main jam is financial literacy and financial wellness. And so I oversee the financial literacy efforts here at UA, which includes overseeing a peer financial coaching program. We have a financial literacy website that we kind of oversee. And then I also do like some other stuff, such as like planning like the health fairs and wellness week. And I do lots of classroom presentations around financial literacy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of curious, like, you know, financial wellness is such a big component, you know, for us at the university. Well, in our wellness wheel, I know Dr. Perez, he's got his awesome Alabama model wellness wheel and everything. So I'm just curious, you know, for both of you, because I don't know, you might answer these differently and have your own take on it, but like, why is financial wellness a component of wellness? Like, why, like, I don't, you know, for those listening, they may not really think of being financially well as a thing, because it doesn't really go into that realm that we always think about, like nutrition and fitness and, you know, all those things. But like, I'm just curious on y'all's take on it.
I would say when you brought up Alabama, the Alabama model, and I think that that's a good example and a good segue for this question, because here at the university, we like to think of health and well-being. We want to look at the overall health and well-being of a student. And so financial literacy or financial wellness is one component, because we want our students to have a nice balance in all of those different areas of wellness. And so if one of those areas is kind of out of balance, such as like financial wellness, then that can have a negative impact on those other areas of wellness. So for example, if a student is concerned about their finances, they may not be able to focus on schoolwork and their grades may suffer. Their emotional health may suffer as well because they're being stressed. And then their physical health may suffer because like those, that stress may start to manifest in their body and cause them to have like different ailments or sickness. And so that's kind of one of the reasons why we focus on financial wellness, is because we want students to be healthy in that area so that their overall well-being can be great.
I love that.
Yeah, because I know, like, I feel like I'm a normal human being that will stress about money. I mean, like, I don't, shouldn't have to stress, you know, I've got a job and stuff, but I can only imagine, you know, some of our students on campus, how that is very, like, troublesome for them, especially those that are, you know, working and supporting themselves that maybe don't have extra coming in. So, yeah, I definitely can weigh down on you. And, Christy, I'm kind of curious on your perspective.
I think Tiffany said that really well, but I work with a lot of adults who are in a lot of credit card debt or who have made a bunch of financial mistakes. So it's so early to start people off on their right financial path at an early age before they make those mistakes.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, when we talk about just looking at wellness holistically and how financial wellness really affects the other pieces, of course, when I start thinking about the nutrition piece, I think about people who there may be a disconnect in what their budget looks like. And so then they aren't appropriately allocating enough funds to eat a healthy diet or afford groceries at all. But yet, you know, they're spending money on XYZ that may be more like discretionary funds that, you know, could be reprioritized for sure. So.
And I was just thinking about fitness. You know, those of you that are listening, you know, students, y'all come to the rec center, it's free. And so you get free exercise classes. You'll never get that anywhere else. I mean, once you graduate, you got to pay for a membership, and memberships can be pretty pricey, at maybe at the lowest $50, but probably more than that if you go to a specialty boutique place. So, you know, being mindful of like all the opportunities that you have on campus, but you know, being physically active, you can do that anywhere. You know, there's free apps, things like that. So kind of thinking along the lines like Sheena was talking about, you know, sometimes we have to kind of prioritize things. And I personally think that if you're not prioritizing your money and you're in debt and things like that, it does play into those other factors of your wellness model that might be detrimental. So
absolutely.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
And Christy, I know that you mentioned working with a lot of adults. Do you find yourself interacting a lot with students who are, you know, walking into the credit union, they want to meet with a staff member, you know, maybe they've had an experience where they noticed the mistakes that their parents did and they're like, look, I need you to school me on this right now. Have you ever had
experiences
like that?
We definitely have people wanting to be proactive, especially college students, to get themselves on the right financial path. But I'd say more than not, we work with young people who are already in a lot of credit card debt or have made really poor decisions already. And so we definitely want to get people in and help them be proactive in making the right decisions.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, as you guys can already tell, this is such an important topic. And again, you know, very relevant as we go into the holiday season and also transcends into just us existing every day. But, you know, we have to take a quick break, but we are going to be continuing these discussions. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and we're talking about money. I don't know if those of you ever watch Parks and Rec, but I love Mona Lisa Saperstein, who says, money, please. Yes. You know what I'm talking about? Where she goes, money, please. So actually, to kind of go off of that, in one of my folders at work, in like my email folder where I'm talking about like budgeting and money, it's called Money, Please.
I like it.
Yes. You know, you got to make it fun. So anyway, as we go off topic a little bit, but yeah, so financial wellness is a perfect time of year to get your finances in order. Why not start now? That's what I think. Like, if it's Black Friday coming up and like Cyber Monday, and you know you're tempted to buy lots of things, you know, be mindful of those things. And I'm kind of curious, you know, kind of going into like goals, and actually this doesn't go into it at all, but you know, whatever. What's, you know, the most practical financial goals and habits that college students should consider? Because I know for me, I was pretty good at saving money, to be honest. I know Sheena wanted a beach towel, and so she signed up for a credit card. But
I did.
But I mean, like, I'm just curious, in y'all's experience, you know, what are some good goals and habits that college students can focus on?
Well, one, I think, is to start building credit and to do it wisely. That's one of the reasons Alabama Credit Union offers a student credit card with a very low limit to get people started, so they don't take on more debt than they can choose. And really, most financial institutions will offer that as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Christy. That was one of my points that I wanted to raise, is like protecting your credit score. And Christy brought up a good way to do that with like starting off with a credit card from Alabama Credit Union. Because like right now, like, and anywhere you go, students are bombarded with like credit card offers. Like, I was in Ulta the other day, and I was paying for like my tint and my my brow waxing, and the lady was like having a casual conversation. I was like, oh, she's super nice. And then like she casually asked me, oh, you're pre-approved for a credit card. Would you like to get that? And I'm like, no, thank you.
See how that goes?
Yeah. And so I think that making sure that students are aware of like how taking on those different credit cards can impact your credit, but if you're doing it responsibly, like how Christy mentioned, then that's super, super important, and that's the right way to go. And then also, I think, creating and managing your budget effectively. I think that that's really, really important, because most of our college students, especially at 18 or 19, they're just now taking on their own finances, because in the past, like, their parents have, like, kind of planned for those things. Like, they plan for, like, paying for their groceries or all these other things, and so being able to like create that budget and kind of manage it effectively, I think, is another important
thing. I think part of budgeting too is also starting to save money. Even if it's just a little bit, that needs to be part of your budget.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And so, you know, as we think about the college student and then that person that transitions into a young professional, what are some differences in what those financial goals could look like or evolve into as somebody gets a little bit older? You know, now they're in like a big girl job or something similar to that. How do those goals potentially change in terms of things they need to think about?
Well, I know I said it's important to start saving, but once you're in your professional career, your big girl job, it's important to start saving for retirement as soon as possible. I know when you're in your 20s, that seems so far off that you, and that's the excuse most people make, is I have plenty of time to save for retirement. But compound interest is your friend.
Shout out. I know. I feel like that should be like a mic drop moment. Like, okay, you guys, like, come on. Like, we got to invest for the future. And it's so hard because in even just thinking about our listeners who may primarily be our college students, you know, we're in this attitude of like instant gratitude, you know, just like this instantaneous, you know, not really thinking about the far off future. And so I feel like that might be a message that is sometimes a little bit harder for someone to absorb in terms of really thinking about retirement, because that does sound so far off.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about that when I was in college. I was like, I just want to work and make money. I didn't even really think about insurance, because when I first started, I guess, working full time, well, I wasn't really working as a full time employee, but I was working as a part time employee, being an instructor and training like up to the max hours I possibly could. And I was like, I don't need retirement. I mean, I'm just going to work and make money. And so it's interesting. I talk a lot of, to a lot of classes, like intro to kinesiology classes, about like kind of, you know, the fitness world and what you have to look for and those types of jobs. And the moment I start talking about retirement or like insurance, you can see like their faces kind of light up like, oh.
They glaze over them almost. Like, that's so far off.
Yeah, they just don't think about it. And so I think that's good that we have these programs to enlighten the students about it. But yeah, I mean, it's one day you're not going to want to work, right? you're going to want to retire. You're going to want to have mm-hmm. a life, like if you have grandkids or, you know, whatever, and you want to travel. And if you don't prepare for that, you're not going to have it, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, as people are trying to be more responsible with their finances, what are some things that are out there in terms of either misconceptions or pitfalls when it comes to someone trying to be savvy with their finances and having that those good intentions, but maybe there are some misconceptions or myths that are out there?
I think for me, especially since we're approaching the holiday season, is that it may be super easy to just swipe a card for something mm-hmm. and not track your expenses. Mm-hmm. And I just think back old school when I first started, like, and I got a checkbook and like I wouldn't write checks. And then I would have to go back to my ledger and kind mm-hmm. of make sure track these expenses mm-hmm. to make sure I have this money in the bank. And so I think that with this new technology age, like it's just like, okay, well, I can just swipe it on a card and like not really have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. And so then you start to rack up like that debt. And so mm-hmm. I think that that's one of a pitfall that students may experience.
Absolutely. And to expand on that, just because a credit card company gives you a high limit mm-hmm. doesn't mean you can afford to pay that back. Yeah. And I think that's, as a young college student about to graduate, I racked up a lot of credit card debt and I thought, well, they gave it to me, so mm-hmm. I can afford to pay this back. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. So I recommend when you start early with credit to treat it like a debit card mm-hmm. because there are, you want to build your credit, but not to spend more than you can afford to spend.
Sure, absolutely. And this is kind of within that vein. I know it wasn't in our original notes, but it made me think of this. You know, I've often seen the term predatory loan or, you know, like just the word predatory in general when it comes to like finances and loans and this and that. Can one of you guys explain like what that is and why that's so dangerous, if you feel comfortable?
Well, I tell people if they receive a credit card offer in the mail that mm-hmm. they have not requested, mm-hmm. throw it away. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an extremely high interest loan.
Good to know.
Yeah. If, wherever you do your banking, talk to them. Those mm-hmm. are typically places that have your best interest in mind, mm-hmm. especially credit unions.
Okay. Good to know.
You know, I was just thinking about, you know, when we were talking about, like Tiffany, you said, like, the new technology and how you'd balance your checkbook. Because I remember, you know, going to the bank when I had, like, middle school or something, and my mom was like, we're going to open you up an account, and you're going to, like, you know, balance your checkbook. I was terrible at math. So I actually kind of like doing everything, like, online checking because it balances it for me, which is great. However, because things are so focused digitally now, people a lot of times don't have cash on hand. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, growing up, my parents were always like, you need to make sure you have some cash on hand. You never know with emergencies. But I almost wonder if that's even valid now because almost everybody takes some form of cashless payment. Now that you have Venmo, PayPal, like those types of outlets, like Zelle is one of them or something or whatever. And so I just find it interesting, like, you know, if the old school way of saying you should have like a $20 bill in your pocket, like, are you going to even need, I mean, what do y'all think? Do you even have cash in your wallet?
I do, and it only at times when somebody is either like paying me back for like something random in the office or whatever else. But now, you know, with things like Venmo, that's not necessarily the case either. So, but also too, you know, one of the things that I was thinking is I feel like there, because we are in this cashless society so much, there are so many students that I'll talk with, and it can be so easy for them to go several days without looking at their account online. And I'm like, oh my Lanta, like
you I do it multiple times a day.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to like take my money. Like I want to catch somebody a credit card fraud or something like that, you know?
Yes. I remember in grad school one year, I had went to a Claire's to buy like a bracelet for a costume party. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be $6.72. Well, they had charged it for $672.
Oh my goodness.
And it was like on a Friday afternoon. And thankfully, you know, the people at my bank, they knew like this girl would not spend $672 at Claire's, but unfortunately, because it was with my debit card and everything else, it froze up that cash over the weekend. And so was so glad that I happened to just look at my account before going out to eat with friends. But yeah, I just that's my story. That's my testimony with all of these all the time.
Talk to your financial institution because there are a lot of products that can help with that. Mm. For example, we have text alerts and you can set them to be whatever you want.
Oh,
so
nice.
Anytime money comes out of my account, I get a text, so I immediately know if somebody has used it when they shouldn't.
That's good.
And also, you can set things like if your balance gets lower than a certain amount, it alerts you. all kinds of stuff like that. So talk to your financial institution.
Yes. I love that. Well, you know, I know we have to take a quick break, but Christy, obviously we want you to continue to share the services that your organization has to offer. And then also to Tiffany, we're going to be talking about some of the programs that we have on campus. But y'all, it's another break time.
Break time.
Catch us on the flip side. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Happy Sunday, and actually the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So I don't know if you guys are already out of town, maybe archiving this show and listening to it a year from now. I don't know.
Yeah, they might be listening to it as they are making some things ahead of time leading into Thanksgiving.
Good point. You know? Good point. Like, preparation. I like
exactly.
that. Yes. Yeah, that's good to think. And I feel like that goes right into what we're talking about today,
exactly.
which is preparing for your future and your finances. And so kind of just continuing our discussion about financial wellness and not letting money control us and using the things that we're given for good and all those great things. But, you know, I'm kind of curious, Christy, we were just talking about like all those cool things that you can use on. I know y'all have an app for your organization, for your institution. And then depending on, you know, where you bank or where you're getting your loans, there's different types of apps and notifications and things like that. So, I mean, would you like to give us a little bit more info on kind of what y'all have to offer maybe?
Sure. Well, we have a bunch of financial wellness resources since mm-hmm. we are a financial institution. Mm-hmm. We have financial counselors. We host monthly financial education webinars. We have a credit builder loan that if you have poor credit, it helps you build your credit faster or improve it. We also have an online financial wellness resource center that anybody can visit. It provides in-depth lessons to help you dive into the financial topics you care about the most.
Nice. I love that. And, you know, when we start thinking also, too, about the programs that we have on campus, you know, Tiffany, earlier when you were sharing with our listeners all that you're involved with, tell us a little bit about the peer financial coaching mm-hmm. that you guys have established.
For sure. So these are UA students who undergo a certification on financial counseling. It's actually the same certification that the financial counselors at Alabama Credit Union go through.
And
so I work
awesome.
Very closely with
oh,
Christy
wow.
and getting our students train and they get like a wealth of knowledge, and then they're able to offer free 30-minute sessions to their peers on a variety of financial literacy topics such as budgeting, saving, paying down debt, and so this service is available in the fall and the spring semesters. We're hoping to possibly expand it during the summer, but mm-hmm. you know, we're starting off small, still mm-hmm. growing our program.
Sure.
And so it's a great opportunity for students to kind of learn about financial literacy from their peers. Mm-hmm. And so it's a program that we're super, super excited about.
It's an amazing program because a lot of times college students are intimidated to talk to
say,
somebody
yeah.
my age. I'm in my early 100s is what I always tell students. And so it feels like a safer environment
sure.
when they're yeah. with their peers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think of financial counseling as a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not always negative. A mm-hmm. lot of people come to us to be proactive. Here's my budget. Mm-hmm. How can I start saving for my child's education?
Sure.
Or things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think since the program's inception, have there been particular topics that you've noticed students opt in for the most when it comes to the peer financial coaching? Like, it seems like there's much more of a request regarding either like debt management or starting a budget.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed any of those trends yet, Tiffany?
Yeah, I think for the most part with our undergraduate students, like budgeting and learning about credit has been like the top two topics that they request. And then for our graduate students, it's been more along the lines of like paying down debt.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of like the trends that we're currently seeing.
Mm-hmm. I know for most college students, I mean, for myself, I really didn't know what credit was, like building your credit. And mm-hmm. so, you know, the first time you ever go and you have to, you know, get a car loan or house loan, I think maybe my first thing was like getting a new car or something like that. It was very interesting because I had no idea what the numbers were. And then also like how they pull like a soft pull or like a hard pull. And so like, I'm kind of curious with some of the apps that are out there that you can like check your credit. I mean, is that okay to do on those apps, or does it really affect your credit score?
Those are typically soft pulls.
So it won't really change
I know Alabama Credit Union has a service that I love. It's called Savvy Money, mm-hmm. and it gives me my real-time credit score every day. I can check it. And that is a soft pull on your credit. Now, if you apply for a loan, that's going to be a hard pull, and that can affect your credit score.
Yeah. And that's good to know, because I think sometimes when people think about applying for something, I mean, there's always a fee to apply for something, but also that pull on your credit. Like, you got to really know you're going to go for this, you know, and not just say, oh, I think I'll just apply for a loan, you know. Yes. I could see people getting confused.
And I feel like finances are, it's something that is so intimate for a lot of people. You know, you feel very vulnerable when that's talked about. I remember when the first time my husband and I purchased a home together, and we, the mortgage company was going through, like, both of our credit scores, and it was like, you know, this big, huge document, and it's almost like, oh my gosh, like, you know, is there something
in
there
I don't know? Yeah.
And so I just remember those emotions of being like, this shouldn't make me feel weird, but for whatever reason, I just have this like heightened like sense, almost like when you see blue lights behind you and you're driving, it's like, I know it couldn't be me, like I'm in the speed limit, but you still get that sense of panic.
Well, money's always like taboo to talk about, I feel like. Like, you don't, that, and kind of going back to Chrissy, like you mentioning that meeting with a financial planner or whoever or advisor, it's helpful because they're going to try to put you on the right track. It's not that you're always going to them because you're like in so much debt. And I think people automatically think that that's the case, you know?
I think so. But also, a lot of people, in my experience, the ones who need the most help are the most scared to talk to people.
That's true.
Well, I'm going to tell on myself right here. If you can make a money mistake, I've made it. And so I try to tell people that. You're not going to come to us with things we haven't seen. We want to help you. Our goal is to help you. Nobody's going to judge you, because all of us have made some kind of financial mistake in our lives.
Sure. Now, with the financial advising that your institution provides, or other institutions would provide, this, is that usually a charged service, or is that something that is a free and part of like the umbrella of everything that you
offer? It is a free service we offer, absolutely.
That's good to know, for sure.
You know, we love our free stuff, our free services.
Absolutely. And now, okay, so I have to bring this up because I feel like a lot of listeners could be in this boat. This could be the student who, you know, maybe they received, you know, some Pell Grant scholarships, maybe some student loan money. And then, you know, after like all the bills have been paid with UA, they get this surplus check back. I need you guys to tell students, please do not blow that extra money because I've known of like friends over the years where, you know, they're just like, oh my gosh, this is like a, you know, a gift from the gods. I'm going to like go and blow it, where they probably could use that money in a more productive way. So do any of you guys have opinions on that scenario?
Absolutely. I work with a lot of people who have a lot of student loan debt. Fortunately, my parents paid for college, so I don't have student loan debt. But some of my financial counselors do. And one of the things they said is, I took the full amount that was offered to me, and I didn't need that. I wish somebody had told me in college that I don't need that. So if you do get a check back, use that wisely. Go ahead and pay down on your loans or put that into your savings account.
I think a lot of times it comes with just immaturity. Do you know what I mean? Like now I feel like we all, being where we are in our lives, you get that money, you're like, ooh, I'm finna save that. Like, that's going on. But, you know, then you think about, like, being a student, I don't think I would really save it. I mean, I'm just going to tell myself, like, I'd be like, I'm going to Claire's and spend $600 on jewelry.
But, I mean,
you know what I mean? It's just, it's, like, think about these things now. And, like, you're going to screw up. Like, let's just be real. Like, everybody screws up when they're young, and it's just what you do. But maybe if you're listening to our show, you'll make really good, wise life choices.
I hope so. I did a presentation recently at UA, and one of the questions I asked is, what would you do if you won the lottery? And of course, they're buying expensive cars, they're doing all kinds of stuff.
I'd pay off that debt.
But I asked our financial counselors the same question in Alabama Credit Union, and it was, I'd pay off my mortgage, I'd invest.
Yes,
that's a big difference.
Yes. And you know, when we think about the financial habits that students have, young professionals, humans in general, you know, a lot of it is based on what we saw our family members do, our parents. And you know, there's that term like, you know, 80% of things that kids do, it's caught, not taught. So, and there was a little bit of a disconnect in my own household where my mom was like, you need to save, save, save. Well, I didn't necessarily see my parents be as diligent with that as they were kind of, you know, barking that to me. And I'm like, well, you're telling me this, but like, y'all aren't doing that and you seem to be fine. So yeah. I thought I'd bring that up because that could apply to some of our listeners too.
I agree. Because you're always going to learn it from somewhere. You know, you're going to learn, you're going to see what your parents do, what your grandparents do, and then you just have to kind of be mindful. But maybe you're the first to, you know, make whoever's listening to our show make the right decision. So
exactly. I don't know. Well, you guys, Christy, Tiffany, thank you guys both so much for being on and talking about such an important topic. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm going to surprise y'all and say we're going to include you in the last 5 minutes.
Surprise!
But it won't be financial wellness related. It'll be about y'all. So you guys, grab something to drink, sit on the edge of the seat of your pants. Here we go. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, friends, we are closing out this wonderful show today, and we're on the cusp of Thanksgiving, ready to go eat some pumpkin pie, yes. Maybe some pecan pie,
yes.
Maybe some tofurkey if you are a vegan, you know, it's all good. But Sheena, you kind of left us on a cliffhanger. You like to do that. That's like your new thing.
I know. And both of our guests were like, oh, my Lanta, what is she about to ask? So we've had this trend this semester where we've really been asking our guests what they do in terms of self-care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think obviously with like COVID that's happened and, you know, just the stress of life in general, everybody has a different tactic when it comes to self-care and what that means to them. Because I feel like, you know, at this point, we're all kind of on life support trying to get through the semester.
Right.
And so, you know, Tiffany, to be honest, I can't remember what you said last time. So you might change up what you said. But Christy, tell us, how do you practice self-care? What does that look like for you?
One of my favorite things to do is pour a glass of wine and take a bubble bath, but I also occasionally treat myself to massages or pedicures. And since I'm a financial counselor, I want to say budget for self-care because it's so important.
That's so smart.
I make sure whatever I do is in my budget.
Mm-hmm. No, that was a great like connection point. I love how you made that connection with the financial wellness and the self-care because, yeah, y'all, pedicures aren't cheap.
No.
I advanced to like the dip nails from like regular manicures, like gel. It gets expensive.
So I had to cut it out of my budget. I used to do that.
Too.
But I'm saving for my child's college education.
You're a good mom.
That's why my nails are not done
sacrifices.
Right now.
Tiffany, I'm kind of curious too. I mean, because it's been a few weeks, maybe a month since you've been on the show. What do you do for self-care?
I have changed it up a little bit. Mm. I do like to get my pedicures though. Mm-hmm. I go like religiously every Saturday.
Really?
And I splurge.
Every Saturday?
Every Saturday.
Oh,
not every Saturday. I'm sorry. Every other Saturday.
Okay. Because
I get like the regular nail polish, mm-hmm. so it doesn't last as long.
Mm-hmm.
But I splurge and get like the most expensive one. I'm like, you know, this is
pretty.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I like to wander mindlessly in like TJ Maxx
there
and like
you go.
Make a list of things that I'm gonna purchase at some point.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so that's what I like to do now.
Absolutely. And Tiffany, I think you and I, we've had this discussion before where, like, you see something at, like, a TJ Maxx or a store similar to that, and you're like, huh, I really want that. If I come back the next day and it's there, it was meant to be, but if it's gone. And so there have been so many times where I've gone back the next day and it was gone, and I, like, have mixed emotions. I'm like, okay, it was not
it
meant
was
to
a
be.
Sign you didn't need
see,
it.
But
exactly.
I really did want that purse or that blouse that was, like, for my petite frame. Like,
yes,
like so.
That happened to me. It was a Marc Jacobs bag. And I was like, it was $150 and I didn't have it in my budget, Christy. So I was like, okay, I can't get it right now. But like next month, it's still there. I can. And it was gone.
Aww.
And I was like, it was not meant to be.
I always recommend for people thinking about big purchases to sit on it at least 48 hours. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of us are impulse buyers.
Oh, yeah.
So when we are wandering around TJ Maxx and we know it's a good deal at TJ Maxx, we're like, oh, my budget doesn't matter right now. I need that.
Yeah.
Sit on it. TJ Maxx is hard because a lot of times it won't be there. But any big purchase, I recommend sitting on it at least 48 hours.
So my mom used to tell me, because, you know, that's a great... you know, bit of advice, but she used to have like a series of questions. I can't remember all of them, but she would say, you know, do you already have something like this already? Which is most of our cases. Yeah, we have multiple things. Like, we're very blessed, you know, we have multiple things. And she would say, you know, wait, you know, 48 hours, wait a couple of days. There's one other thing I may have to tell y'all next week.
I also think about when I'm making a purchase that might not be in my budget or I have to really decide what to do. I think about how long I'll have to work to pay for that
item. That's probably what it was.
I thought that's what it might be.
Okay. Yes. She was very good about making me think that way. And so, like, yeah, I thank her for that.
Well, we ended this on a great note. Like, I feel like we shared some very tangible things that people can apply immediately.
That's
so
right.
You don't have to wait till January to get on top of those finances. You can do it now. You can do it this week. You can do it at this moment. But y'all, please have a happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at Fit to Be Tied. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.